For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to Believe in K-State, hosted by Joe Matthew and Reggie Blackwell. Today, Reggie and I talk about the big 41-3 victory against TCU, and we look forward to the Houston game this Saturday and discuss what the Wildcats need to do to keep the momentum going. Hey, we'd appreciate it if you all like the podcast. Go ahead and share it with your K-State friends. You can like, share, and comment on your favorite podcasting app for this episode. And we'd really appreciate you doing that. Thanks. The last of the major pro sports leagues kicks off this week, and BetOnline is your top spot for all your NBA action this season. With MLB postseason, NFL and college football, and NHL in full swing, BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. Get everything NBA at your fingertips with the desktop and mobile access for every sport, anytime. Head to the BetOnline today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All righty. How are you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Man, I'm great. You know, a great, great, great Kansas State victory last week over TCU. Resounding victory. Yeah. Big victory, clicking on all cylinders. Defense played great. Offense was clicking. Both quarterbacks. What can you say?
I could say that I like the two quarterback system when it works that well.
Yeah, when it works that seamlessly, it seems like it's made in heaven. Right.
Right. There's nothing to complain about with that. Yeah, two of the top six quarterbacks in the country on quarterback rating for the week. That's amazing.
So that was huge.
Yeah.
So a 41-3 resounding victory. Me and you both were very comfortable going into the game with Kansas State beating TCU, but yeah. I don't think either of us saw a 38-point victory over TCU, 41-3, especially after the quarterback had threw for so many yards the week before. But I tell you, it's a little bit about Kansas State and it's a little bit about TCU. TCU lost a lot. I think that's showing.
Yeah.
From the championship team last year to the team that made it to the, you know, CFP and won a playoff game. You can see they're missing a lot of pieces. But also, let's not take any discredit from Kansas State. That is the most efficient offensively I saw collectively coming out of the gate of a Kansas State team in a long time.
Yeah, and that running game just pounded and pounded and pounded, and TCU couldn't stop it. You remember how many yards we had rushing?
That's a great question. We had a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot.
And it looks like this line is really coming together now, Joe. We're giving the credit to the quarterback run game and to the running backs, but these guys have some holes to run through as well, though.
Yeah, credit to the offensive line, and they did their job. That's for sure. I also liked how they alternated quarterbacks with Will Howard. Didn't DJ Giddens play when Will Howard was under center, and Trayshawn Ward played when Avery Johnson was under center. They kind of alternated them like that. I thought that was interesting. That not only did they alternate quarterbacks, but the running backs too.
Well, I knew that they alternated quarterbacks, but that's a great observation, Joe. I didn't notice that they lined it up with the actual quarterback for those particular series.
Yeah.
So Giddings went with Howard, and Tayshaun Ward went with Avery Johnson each time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's interesting. I didn't
at
know
least
if there's
until
any
late
rhyme
in the second
reason.
Half. Yeah.
Right. I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason for that, but that is a very, very profound stat, though, that they did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had, just so you can put it in perspective, we had 343 rushing yards last week.
I was going to say 400, but I thought I might be speaking out of turn because I couldn't remember exactly. But I had in my mind that it was around 400.
Yeah, 343. That's a lot of, on 52 carries, average 6.66. That's a lot of rushing yards.
It sure is, and nothing to complain about at all, really. Very efficient. TCU couldn't stop them. And when, you know, when the running game's rushing for that many yards, you're going to win. I mean, that's the bottom line.
No, it's a very hard combination to stop when you're running that efficiently. What I was impressed with a little bit on the offense, and then I want to switch a little bit to the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Jace Brown looks like the true freshman. Him and Avery Johnson had a nice couple of connections on some deep balls. There was two phenomenal balls that Avery Johnson threw to Jace Brown on some deep balls, and then he caught the touchdown pass from Will Howard. But Jace Brown, a true freshman, has moved into the starting lineup this week on the depth chart. What are your thoughts on him? I like his speed. He looks like he has some moxie to him. What I mean by that, he looked like he belongs there, and he's right. A true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see that he must have been really working hard over the summer months in these first 4 to 5 weeks because he looks very, very comfortable out there in the receiver set.
Yeah, he looks, you know, comfortable and confident, and he was the leading receiver on the team. He does look a little smallish. he looks like
a true freshman.
So he does, he's got some work in that department, but I was happy with it. I was almost like, who's this kid and where was he before? he was learning the offense and getting in the groove and that kind of thing. So it was nice to see him and Avery are kind of buddies and have been practicing together and seem to have that cohesiveness working together.
Yeah, I mean, the young man from Fort Walton Beach, Florida, is only 5'11", about 175 pounds is what he listed as. So we know he's going to get bigger and stronger. But 6 catches, 124 yards, and a touchdown with a 20.7 average is pretty impressive for a true freshman, Joe.
Yeah, it is. Hopefully he can keep that going. But
yeah, it has earned him a starting position. Along with Jaden Jackson. Jaden Jackson has supplanted Keegan as well. So you're going to go with Jace Brown, Jaden Jackson, and Phillip Brooks, the starting receivers. I think that's going to give us a little bit more pop from the receiver standpoint. Jace Brown just got speed. He's got speed. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a deep threat. But like you say, once his body starts developing and he gets more physical, he's going to be a tough kid to stop.
And it's amazing that, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked on the podcast about how our receivers had problems, how they weren't getting open and weren't catching the balls. And now it's totally turned around. We even talked about, well, are there any other receivers that we're going to see? And we have.
Lo and behold, it came to fruition. So, I think it's a combination of replacing the talent, but also the running game getting going at the time it's going. And I think everything coming together with the quarterback run game is opening up things as well.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
But they simply are, right now, Jace Brown and Jaden Jackson is playing better than R.J. Garcia and Keegan Johnson. The good thing is, I think it's going to bring some competition, and it should make R.J. Garcia and Keegan Johnson get better as well to have, to kind of help solidify our receiver room.
Yeah.
Which we thought was a deficiency. Looks like might not be as bad room as we think.
I know. Now it looks like almost strength.
Yeah. So also, defensively, before we kind of get to the big ball of the game, defensively, you know who's quietly having a fantastic season is Purnell, the Sam linebacker, number 32. Purnell is the Topeka, Kansas native, had an interception, had a sack, and played a very, very efficient game, and has been playing very well all season.
Yeah, he has. And I heard his name a lot on Saturday, so he was all over the place. Yeah, you can't knock the defense at all in this one either. You know, giving up only 3 points. TCU still has some talent on that offense. And like you mentioned right at the beginning, you know, that quarterback threw for almost 450 or something like that the previous week. So they've got some good receivers. They got a quarterback that can sling it around. And giving up only 3 points to TCU, that's impressive. I mean, they held them on some fourth downs when they needed to. And, yeah, really kind of shut them down. So.
No, it looks like the secondary is starting to kind of, you know, Jacob Paris is back healthy. Will Lee did play. But Keenan Garber has kind of found himself at the cornerback position as well. The safeties with Payne and all those guys seem to be kind of working more in cohesiveness. We still have a problem at the middle linebacker position, but it looks like Jake Clifton has been a stalwart filling in at all the linebacker positions, and he played a great game in the middle, and Moore is always a consistent at the wheel linebacker spot. So both of those guys, Purnell and Moore, have been a steady, rock steady. If we can get some consistency in the middle, this defense is starting to round into place at the right time.
And the defense is always consistent under Chris Klieman. They have their deficiencies from time to time, but they always get stuff worked out, you know, and they always come back and play well. And that's, you know, especially in the secondary, even though they have injuries and stuff, the secondary always plays well. Linebackers always play well. So, you know, I'm not really worried about the defense going forward, even though there are some injuries and that has hurt us a little bit. But going forward, I'm not really concerned about, like I said, they played excellent in the game Saturday, and, you know, we'll see going forward. But I have a lot of confidence in that group.
Well, I think the big thing, and I echo what you're saying, Joe, in that defensive group, if you look at the stat sheet from last week, we are playing a lot of players on defense too. So I think Kansas State and Klieman and Klanderman have done a great job of developing depth at the defensive level for us to be able to weather the storm on some of these injuries we had with quality players. Where in years past, when the first guy went down, the drop-off was significant.
Yeah.
Now I don't think there's this bigger drop-off from ones and twos as they were in the past, which is kudos to the coaching staff.
Yep, excellent point. You know, losing someone like Daniel Green 2 years ago would have just killed the defense. They wouldn't have been able to replace him. It would have been a huge drop-off, and it would have been noticeable. And now, you know, with the recruiting picking up, getting a lot better, they're coaching these guys up, and Yeah, there's not much of as much of a drop off from the starters to the second teamers as there used to be. And that's nice to see.
No, no doubt. So I got a lot of potential people for my big ball of the game, from both quarterbacks playing well to Jace Brown have a fantastic game, you know, with his breakout game. Both running backs, Giddings and Ward, played well as well on offense. And then you got the defensive side. You got Desmond Purnell that played very well. You got Jacob Paris with a sack and some great defensive plays that played well. Austin Moore was continually be consistent. I think once I decided I'm going to go off the grid a little bit and do something a little bit different, I'm going to go with the entire defense and Klannerman to be my big ball of the game. I think he did a great game plan. Anytime you can hold a division Power 5 opponent to only 3 points in the game is a huge kudos in this day and age of the way the offenses are. So big shout out to those guys, to Klannerman, who did a fantastic job on the scheme and the players collectively, defensively, 22 plus of them that contributed and did an excellent job. So I'm going to go with the entire defense.
All right, I'm good with that.
All righty. Now we switch gears as we roll through the state of Texas. We're already through Texas Tech. We're already
foreshadowing to the rapid fire. Come on.
Right.
You didn't get these questions beforehand, did you?
I didn't know that.
So I promise our listeners that Reggie did not get the questions beforehand.
Exactly. So as we make our assault, and we'll tailor that, we'll wait till that comes. We got the Houston Cougars coming up from the great city of Houston. One of our newcomers to the league had a very tough game last week against Texas, was right on the verge of pulling off the upset, played them toe-to-toe, got off to a bad start, but finished with a vengeance, and was right on the doorstep of really doing something special against probably one of the best teams in the country in the Texas Longhorns, but Texas survives. But Houston, their game when they're at home, they don't play as well on the road, but they have a quarterback that has some great ability that can run and throw, and they got a few receivers that can make some plays, Joe.
Yeah, they're going to pass the ball, bottom line. They're not a good running team, but they move the ball through the air. And K-State's pass defense isn't ranked really high. You know, they're actually one of the worst pass defenses in the country if you look at the statistics, but you know, they've had injuries and stuff like that too. So so that could be an issue slowing down that passing attack. I think Houston is going to put up some points just because they're efficient moving the ball and scoring. So the good news for K-State's side is the running game. We have one of the top running attacks in the country. In Houston, that's one of the worst rush defenses in the country. They can't stop the run at all.
They can't stop the run at all.
That's, you know, that's going to be huge for K-State. And I think that's, you know, I hate to say K-State's going to run the ball at will, but they should be able to run the ball successfully in this game.
Well, I think it's going to be a function of we're going to run it till they actually show some ability to stop it. Like you said, Houston has not stopped anybody against the run. I think they're giving up, you probably know the exact number, 260-plus yards, rushing yards a game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. And if we get to 260-plus, again, rushing, with the way our defense is playing, just stingy enough, that's going to be a hard conversation, a hard combination for us to lose.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So – yeah, their total defense is 111th in the country. And they're 90th in rush defense. So they give up 160 yards a game just in rushing yards.
Yeah, 160. So, okay.
Yeah.
And, so they're gonna. It's gonna be a hard sledding for Houston to stop us. Particularly, I think we're gonna have some elements, maybe a little bit of rain, which is gonna be conducive to style the way K-State would like to play, and which is gonna make it a little tougher for Houston to just throw it all around the yard. Mm-hmm. They're gonna try to run the ball a little bit to establish some things, but I think if we just contain that, do what we need to do on defense, we should be in good shape. But we can't give Houston any false hope. They showed they'd get their game, and they got some playmakers.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you give them a little bit of light, they'll fight out there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they showed that against Texas. And I was flipping back and forth between games the other day. When did Quinn Ewers get injured in that game? Do you know?
I don't know when it was, but I think it was in the third quarter.
Okay.
I know he's definitely out this week. For sure. And I'm not quite sure if he's going to play when we play him in 2 weeks.
But they did. I was wondering if that kind of affected, you know, or let Houston hang around in that game even longer than they otherwise would have.
That's a good point, because they went with the backup quarterback. Not Manny.
No, the other, yeah, crap. I can't remember his name now.
Yeah, and we'll get it. Yeah, so depending on how he performed this week, we'll see if we're going to see him or Manning in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so Houston did stick with Texas. They could have won it there at the end. They had a chance to win it or at least tie it, but didn't get it done. So, yeah. I mean, if they can play with Texas, they can, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But I feel really good about this game, just looking at the statistics. And as long as, you know, K-State shows up and does their thing again, you know, I feel really good about the game.
No, I think if we control the things we need to do, not worried about what Houston does, but do what we need to do, I think we're better and we're at home. But Hoverson does has that team, you know, scrappy plan. You know, they had the big upset, kind of last minute win over West Virginia, which right. gave them their first conference win. So we do have to play, but I think we have to come out like we did against TCU, hit them in the mouth early,
yeah,
get control mm-hmm. of the game. And then when they become way predictable, half the pass, we can, you know, make it very uncomfortable for them. They become so one-dimensional that the game will get out of hand.
Yeah, something I found interesting, too, is I look at common opponents, and this is never an exact science because matchups are different between teams mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But this one is glaring. It's TC. We both – both Houston and K-State have played TCU and Texas Tech. TCU beat Houston 36-13, and Texas Tech beat Houston 49-28. So, mm-hmm. I mean, both those teams blew out Houston. And and K-State blew out both TCU and Texas Tech. They beat TCU 41-3 and Texas Tech 38-21. So, I don't think this game should be close.
It shouldn't be close. The line is 17.5, which is a big line for K-State at home. The weather may play a little bit of effect to that, but I think if you're willing to be in the state of Kansas, if you're there and you download the apps, we need to get those guys a sponsor. We won't keep saying their name. then I think it's probably worth putting a couple dollars down to on that 17 or 17.5. I feel a little comfortable with that number.
Yep, definitely. I feel comfortable with it.
So we ready? What you got? Rapid fire going into the Houston game.
All right, let's go. Rapid fire. All right. So Dana Holgorsen said K-State has the best coaching staff in the country. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, that is a great rapid fire question there, Joe. Arguably, I think they probably have the best coaching staff in the Big 12. Going to the country, that will probably be a little bit more debatable. And what I'm basing that on is I think K-State coaches do better with less. I think they don't have the talent as a lot of the other teams that are out there, but their coaches get more out of it, of the talent that we got. To get up there and say the best in the country, I think we need to make a CFP or be in contention for the national championship. Then we can say that. But I definitely agree with the best in the conference.
I think it's a little bit of coach speak. Coaches do that all the time when they think they might get blown out in a game.
No question.
All right. Well, we got touched on this one. Will K-State cover the 17.5 point spread?
Absolutely. I would put a couple dollars on it. I think K-State will. I think if we just control what we need to do methodically, play clean football game without the turnovers, play solid enough defense, continue to stay consistent in the kicking game. I think all the elements, with it being a home game, it being homecoming, with us on a little bit of a roll, even with the inclement weather, I think we'll actually even rally behind that. I think K-State likes the rain, likes the sloppiness. So I think we'll get it done. I think we'll get it done comfortably.
All right. Should K-State be ranked in the top 25?
You know what? I thought about this long and hard the other day, Joe.
You and me both.
Selfishly, I think we should, because we're looking to see what Missouri doing right now. At first, yeah, that looked like a bad loss. That's a good loss right now. Missouri is 7-1 with coming up, getting ready to play the number one team in the country a week from now, with the opportunity to be able to win their division in the SEC. So that loss on a last second field goal by a 300 plus count kicker doesn't seem too bad right now. And also Oklahoma State, which was another very bad loss at the time. We've seen what they've done since they beat us as well. Oklahoma State is in contention for a Big 12 championship run with what they have done. Their season has completely turned around. So with that said, with those two losses and the quality wins that we're doing and the way we're winning the last couple of weeks, I think we deserve to be in the low 20s.
All right. I agree with you there. So will K-State beat Texas State champions this season? They beat all the Texas teams on their schedule.
Well, we're making the onslaught. I think we'll go 3-0. We'll get this job done against Houston. And then the monumental game going into Austin. I was not bullish about this 3 weeks ago, and I wasn't at the beginning of the season. I always thought this would be a loss for K-State, but now with the question marks at quarterback for the University of Texas, with the way we're playing, you know, with this kind of edge on our shoulder, this two quarterback system, and Kyle and Kleiman not beating Texas in his career yet, I think that's going to be a special game. We got to take care of business first against Houston. But I think once he flips the calendar and gets to Texas, there's going to be some added motivation for him personally, incentivized to beat Texas. And I think we can get it done.
All right, a basketball question.
Yeah.
So, blue chip, top 20 ranked 5-star center, Patrick, and I'll butcher his last name, Ngongba. We'll be visiting Manhattan this weekend. And my question for you is, do you think he'll commit to K-State? Because I hear it's between K-State and Duke right now.
Duke. I think all the indication is it's between K-State and Duke. I think he picked Kansas State to be his last visit for a reason. Now, I don't always go that way. The last one gets the, you know, gets the apple, so to speak. But I do think they have recruited this guy like a monster. I'm not saying what Duke has done and some of the other thing. I think Duke gets the benefit of the factor because a lot of time they're Duke and they kind of get the pedigree in the past. But I think Coach Tang has put his heart and soul into getting this guy and the whole staff across the board. I think we'll probably see him at the football game. He'll have the red carpet put into play for this weekend in Manhattan. So if anybody out there sees him, give him some good juju. But yeah. I think K-State will get him. I don't think he'll commit right after the visit, but I think he has a day set up, and he's already narrowed it to K-State, Kentucky, and Duke. I think we'll get him.
Yeah, I think he's set to announce next weekend.
So. Right.
And did I pronounce his last name right? Do you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Cool. Well, I guess I got for the score, what did I have? 45-24 this weekend.
45-24. It's a good number. I think K-State continue to roll in the 20s. I mean, in the 40s. They're averaging not quite 40 points a game, but 36 and some change or so. I think they'll win. I'm going 42-17, Kansas State. I think we'll get it done. I think Houston will make a little bit of noise, but I just think collectively our running game and the line is going to be too much. We're going to ball control. We're going to minimize the number of possessions that Houston actually has the ball, and then I think that's going to get us to victory and get it comfortably.
All right. Well, we're close on that, so – I think they'll get it done. You wrapped it up perfectly. I don't think Houston could stop the running game. You know, I think Avery Johnson might go for 200 yards.
Yeah, the one thing that did surprise me last week, I had in one of my little parlays, is Avery Johnson didn't score a touchdown last week.
No, yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
He did not. I had the DJ Giddens parlay on DraftKings. He had to get 70 yards.
Which he did, right?
And any time it was late in the third quarter, I think, when he finally got it. I was sweating it a little bit, and any time touchdown, K-State had to score 33 and cover the spread. I think that was all of them.
So you got them all.
I got that one, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Anytime you can hit a parlay, I don't care if you got $5 on them. They're always good.
Yeah.
Because they pay pretty good.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
It was 5-1, so.
Well, the Wildcats should be in good shape. Let's hopefully the weather is not too inclement. And then let's go ahead and get this one in a bowl so we can get ready for the game of the year down in Austin, but we got to take care of business first against Houston before it can become the game of the year.
Exactly. Let's not look ahead yet.
Yeah, so, we can't look ahead yet.
Let's so I'm kind of glad podcast it's, next week talking about the Texas game.
You're right about that. I think we may I'm working on a I'm not going to let the cat out the bag yet, but I think I got a good Texas alumni to jump in on a podcast for us, and he's pretty well renowned.
All right.
So we'll tease the audience with that.
All right. So looking forward to that.
All righty. Well, Joe, look forward to seeing you this Saturday.
Yep.
Be careful, dress warm, and go Wildcats.
Go Wildcats. Thanks, Reggie.
Thank you. Take care.
Talk to you.
Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.